Welcome to I Want to Put a Baby in You, a podcast exploring reproductive technology and life-changing stories. Here are your hosts, Jennifer White and Ellen Trackman.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jennifer White. I am here with the... I needed a list of like 100 adjectives for this.
Now it's a competition.
It is. No, just going to stick with the absolutely amazing person that I love in this world, my sister, Ellen Trackman.
So nice. Thank you.
Ellen.
Yeah.
You know, since everybody in this world knows like huge amounts of information about us, like we are not shy about our identities or sharing our lives or things like that. How do you... feel about like identity release, like especially with like social media and things like that, and like your children and your social media information?
I feel like I'm the wrong person to ask. I feel like there are very smart people out there who are very wise to protect themselves and protect their children and not put their likeness on social media. And I really, you know, I post with identity, and I post, I mean, mostly I post our dog, but I also do post our children, and it's probably not smart. So I'm, again, probably not the right person to ask, but I absolutely understand and respect those who want to get out there, who want to tell their story, but also want to be cognizant of the others around them and protect their stories.
I mean, I definitely on the other side, like I have definitely a public persona, right? Like of what things look like. And then I have a very like my, like I do post things about my family, but they're locked down to like private for people that only know me.
Smart.
You know, so like I totally get that too. Cause I don't, I feel like, especially with my child, like it's their identity, right? Like anything I share, I don't want to be telling their own narrative. I want them to be able to have their own narrative.
Right. So that makes sense. So our guest today chose not to include her full name, and we absolutely understand and respect that. But also, you know, commend her for still wanting to get her story out. Welcome, Cynthia, to the podcast. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And to start to get to know you, do you want to give a little bit of background about yourself, for example, of what you would say when you first meet someone?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can keep it a little more focused on the infertility and pregnancy loss if you'd like. A little bit, I guess, about myself. I'm a health and wellness coach. I've been working with clients for almost 20 years, individuals and groups, and I do lots of presentations on a whole variety of different health topics virtually over Zoom. So that's a little bit about me professionally. Would you like me to tell you a bit about my journey with infertility and pregnancy?
Yes. I would say absolutely. I think that's part of why we're here, right?
Yes. So where to start?
Okay, perfect. I can dive right into that one. So yes, definitely have a very long history of infertility and pregnancy loss. Living in Massachusetts has been fabulous in that my insurance, you know, covered most of my infertility treatments. I went through many years of, you know, infertility, IVF, very long history of pregnancy loss, you know, some late term pregnancy loss and really complicated kind of issues.
And were you aware at the time how different that was from so many other states?
Yes, I actually was, because I knew many people in other states who did not have the kind of coverage that I had. So yes, for sure.
That's so nice to at least have that one element while you're going through it to be a little less stressful.
Yes, for sure. So I was blessed with my daughter 18 years ago through IVF. And after she was born, she was about 9 months old. I miraculously became pregnant again, natural, but this time it was natural. But the pregnancy was a very dangerous one and very unique one, in that the pregnancy was kind of burrowing itself into my C-section scar from my daughter. And so what that
is,
is that
accreta, or what is that term?
Yes. It was that is, I think, one of the terms they used. And what they were really concerned about was that my uterus would, you know, burst, and the pregnancy really was not really growing. You know, was it not growing, developing well? So I had an emergency hysterectomy. And so Yeah, so my uterus was removed. Everything was very rushed, very fast.
Wow. I say, what an emotional trauma that has to be to go from being pregnant to losing both the pregnancy and your ability to ever carry a pregnancy again.
It was so, so challenging. It was emotionally just so much to go through for so many reasons, and physically, right? Physically. I mean, I was so young, you know, I was in my mid-30s. I was thrilled to have my daughter, my 9-month-old, but, you know, I was hoping to have another child, you know, and so I was just devastated by the kind of very, like you said, rushed situation, the emergency, the need to all of a sudden remove this organ, which is so much a part of us as women, right? Our uterus. Yeah. So
I would say after you healed, or as you were healing, I guess I don't know what order you started to do things. Like, where did your thoughts go during that time frame, and what propelled you forward?
So yes, it was interesting. I actually just wrote an article about this experience for Resolve's magazine. I'm not sure if you saw it or not.
It's Resolve New England. I will clarify that for people.
Yes, Resolve New England. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. So I just wrote about this topic. So
good. Hopefully we can link to that article for people who want to follow up and read it too.
Yes, for sure we can do that. I can send you the link, or you can grab it from Resolve, either way. But I talk about this in the article. So I was literally in the hospital bed the day after my hysterectomy, and my husband walked in, held my hand, gave me a kiss on the forehead, and, you know, asked how I was feeling, you know, how I'm doing, and everything, you know, was, you know, just shared with him physically, psychologically, how I was doing. And I'll never forget, he looked me in the eye and he said, "You know what? Why don't we get a gestational carrier to carry our next baby?" And I looked at him and I said, "Oh my gosh, I can't think about that right now. Like, I'm so overwhelmed."
Right. Too soon.
Right? Well, I was just like, also, I can't.
That's a really funny question. Like, 15 years ago, how did he even know, like, in his consciousness, what a gestational carrier was? Because quite honestly, that's such a, like, even now people don't, I mean, a lot of people don't know that such a thing exists. So
exactly.
How years ago did he know that, or even ever suggest that?
Right? How did he ever, I will ask him that question. That's a great question.
You don't know that one. Okay.
Right? You're right, because back then it was not widely done, and it still is not widely done, right? So the fact that he had that on his mind is, that's pretty mind-boggling.
Obviously that day, yeah.
Yeah, it was a concept that I was not ready to explore. I was just, it was so not in my radar. I just, all I was trying to do was focus on, you know, healing from this recent very major surgery, and healing, you know, psychologically. Just, I was not in the mindset at all. So yes, many months passed and we didn't really address the topic. It came up a few times, maybe just high level. He knew I was not ready to discuss such a complicated, you know, topic as that. And, you know, he kind of just dropped it. The topic came up again, maybe about 8 or 9 months later. And I looked at him and I said, "Okay, I'm ready to start exploring the idea." You know, we had talked about adoption also, but I said, "I'm willing to just start thinking about this idea." So the two of us just kind of began to embark on what's involved with using a gestational carrier. And, you know, as you can imagine,
can I ask what that looked like at the time? I mean, like, what that research looked like? Because, again, also, even now, it can be very difficult to find good and accurate information online when we have, like, the world at our, you know, at our fingertips with our phones. So what did that many years ago, how did you find information and research?
Yeah, we just basically, we talked to the infertility agency that we worked with at Brigham and Women's Hospital. They're fantastic, along with Boston IVF, because we collaborated with them as well. And talked with them, and they were the ones that had discussed this option with us as well. In addition to just kind of doing research, anything we can get our hands on this topic, we did. And we did come across an agency that wasn't too far from where we lived, maybe just about a half an hour, an hour. And we reached out to them. And that's kind of how the whole process began.
Okay. If you don't mind, and again, I'm fascinated by how different things are now versus, I mean, even again, things evolve within even, you know, 6 months most of the time. But
yeah,
what did that process look like for you? Because I mean, even now, like, most people don't ever come into a surrogacy agency in person. And you talked about, oh, it was really close. Did you physically go in and talk to them?
We did. We went in physically. And you can imagine how much paperwork we had to fill out, you know, how much was involved. It was not an easy process at all. There was so much to go through. So much.
Yeah, and to digest it without the ability to, like, go home and think about it and come back, because it's obviously it's a hard appointment to come back for.
Yes, for sure. Having said that, you know, going through, you know, all, kind of all the paperwork and all the details around that, we were so fortunate in that one of the most important tasks when going through this process is obviously finding the gestational carrier. Right. And we were given a list of profiles by the agency very early on, as right after we had signed up with them. And I don't know if it was fate, but we found the gestational carrier very, very early on. We didn't explore different people. We basically selected this one person out of a list of people and description. And it was the most, in my opinion, perfect match. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but it was.
I want to go back and kind of ask questions. Like, did you guys meet in person? Did you have a phone call? How did you determine that it was a perfect match besides looking at a profile?
Yes. So we had a quick phone call after kind of, you know, reviewing all the information about her and quick phone call. And then we met her in person. We went to her home.
Oh, so she lives close enough or lived close enough to you.
It was, yeah, drivable within an hour. And that was actually part of my criteria is I really wanted a gestational carrier who was nearby. You know, some people I think feel differently, but I was very much invested in this whole process. And what I mean by that is I went to every doctor's appointment with her. She and I were in very, very close contact with each other throughout the entire pregnancy. And that's what I was looking for. I didn't want it to be a situation where I was kind of removed and I was just kind of hear what was going on. I wanted to have that involvement.
Awesome.
And did she feel similarly that she wanted you there for all the appointments?
She did. She really did. She loved the fact that it was so interactive and it really felt like an incredible partnership. It was honestly an unbelievable experience. And this is something that, you know, when I think about it, it's like tears come to my eyes. Like, it was the most powerful bond that we had. And it just grew as months progressed. You know, obviously, like with any relationship, right? But we became closer and closer, and I could see how much she was trying to make this pregnancy, you know, the best she could, meaning, you know, she took the best care of herself. And because I was, you know, physically, you know, not too far away from her, I was in contact. I could see what she was doing to keep this pregnancy going, you know, in the best way that she can, because that's always a fear, right? For people.
Yeah.
That was my fear. When my husband first started talking to me about this, I said, wait, I'm going to let someone who I don't even know carry our baby, because, you know, this was, you know, it was not donor egg or donor sperm. This was my husband's sperm, my egg. This was an embryo we had frozen for my daughter's IVF cycle. So this is my egg, my husband's sperm. I said, how will I let someone else who I don't even know carry our baby? So
the way I always describe it is, I'm like, it's, you're letting somebody carry your heart around outside of your body. And it's so hard.
Completely. It's that leap of faith. I had to give all trust.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you feel you were able to? I just feel so many intended parents like really are like, what is she eating? Where is she going? What is she around? And did you
Yep.
feel like you were just able to trust her, or that you were kind of close enough,
Oh
you're
my
kind of
gosh.
watching?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a great question. And honestly, it was tough. I'm not gonna lie. And I think part of it is it's my personality, right? Like some people, maybe they're a little more laid back, but I think everyone would have, a little bit of butterflies knowing that, someone else is carrying their baby, I think when I look back on the experience, I think there's no question I was nervous. There was many a time when I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I hope she's doing okay. What's she doing? Funny story, I can remember one time she mentioned to me that she was planning on going to an amusement park. And so I
Sorry, struck
Yeah.
terror in your heart.
Oh,
Yeah.
no. Right? So I remember looking at my husband after I hung the phone up with her, and I said to him, "She's going to an amusement park. Should I tell her not to go on a roller coaster?
Right? How
Will
do you
she
tell
get
her? She's
mad at
like,
me? Is
you're not
it
planning on going on the roller coasters, are you?
Right? Right? And then the other funny thing is, so I think I mentioned I'm a health and wellness coach. So for me, like food is really important. I'm really into like healthy food, diet, making sure, that, people are eating healthy, right? And so I didn't want to be, too much of a micromanager. So I tried to really, keep a bit of a distance and just, allow her to move forward. And like I mentioned earlier, I definitely had a lot of trust with what she was doing. But there was a few times when, I just wanted to ask her, like, have you been eating super healthy? Are you taking your
Did you get all
vitamins?
your
Like,
vegetables today? Stay
exactly.
hydrated.
Exactly. And we actually would go out to lunch after her appointments, her doctor's appointments, when we could. Like if it worked out with our schedules, we would try to grab lunch after. And I can remember a few times like looking over and being like, okay, good. She's eating a salad right now with some protein. Okay. So it's a really strange experience to like have someone else be carrying your child,
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as you got through the pregnancy, like obviously the big impending day is delivery. How did that go for you all?
Yes, oh my gosh. It was so powerful. It was so emotional. She actually had a challenging delivery. Unfortunately, she had some complications. Everything ended up okay. My son was born healthy. She was okay, but she did have some pregnancy complications. So that ended up being very difficult for me, very emotional feeling, knowing that she was going through some physical complications, delivering my son. But it was the most powerful and moving experience. I had such tears of joy for I don't know how long after my son was born. It was just the most powerful, incredible experience.
Do you guys still keep in contact?
We do. We do. She has moved further away. She's maybe about 10-hour drive now. So she moved down south. So I do see her when she comes up to visit. She comes up to visit about once a year. And whenever she's in town, we meet up and we're in contact maybe like every other month. We'll either have a
Oh,
phone
wow.
call. Yeah, so we are in contact a good amount. She's an amazing person. An amazing person. And I mean, I can't say enough about this experience. It's funny, I actually feel lucky to have been through this experience. Initially, I was just like obviously devastated that I
Yeah.
just had a
Yeah.
hysterectomy and just like it was just as we just talked about, it was obviously overwhelming. But now, in hindsight, my son is almost 16 years old, so it's been, quite a few years. I feel truly grateful to have been through this experience. Truly grateful.
How, and I think this is an interesting, like there's always the, are the kids all right? Did you, when did you start talking to your son about this? Because I presume he knows he was carried via surrogate. And
Yes.
how is he, and how is your daughter, how did your daughter react with everything too?
Yeah, such great questions. So I started really early on with educating him, just because I wanted to. Like, why not? I mean, it's such an
Right.
important thing. Like, I need to tell him, you know. So I started very, very young. I had a couple of books on the topic that were made for children. So they were, you know, very simple picture books that I started to read to him when he was able to, you know, understand, right? And, you know, I started to talk with him also very at a very young age, very high level, because obviously this is very complicated, right?
Right.
And I would also bring him, you know, to meet with her, you know, whenever I could as well. So
Nice.
he would come along with me, you know, and meet with her. And he's continued to do that, you know, through the years. And, you know, as he got older and was more able to understand the complexity of the situation, it's been so amazing, you know, to see him understand, wow, like I am so lucky to have come into this world in this very unique way, right? Like, because it is so unique, so unique. And sometimes he's shared with me that he has let people in his life know about how he's come into the world. And when he tells me that, I always just, my heart just explodes. I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is just so amazing. Because I think that for him, he realizes now that he's, you know, almost 16, wow, this was an incredible thing. When he was younger, I don't think he could understand, right? It was just kind of like, wait, what? And I would spend time when he was younger making sure he understood that he was related to me and to my husband. You know, like, you know, I tried to explain, you know, how this whole process worked in very high level terms, you know. But now I think he understands even more the complexity of it, like from a psychological level and, you know, just physically, he kind of understands how he came about. It's amazing, amazing.
Did you guys talk about the recent news of the Pope, making a statement about very negatively about surrogacy, about it being deplorable? Is that something that you guys had feelings about or happened to talk about together?
Yes, we have not talked about that, but I think that we probably need to have a conversation about that because that's just so upsetting for me to even think about. So upsetting. It really is because it's just I don't support that at all. And, you know, I really hope that someday surrogacy will be something that is, you know, just more widely done, that it's covered by insurance, you know, because it is so costly. And, you know, my husband and I feel so fortunate that we were able to do this because it is a huge financial expense, huge. And it's unfortunate because for some people, you know, they can't have a, they cannot carry a child, like my situation, right? I did not have a uterus. You know, there's people that go through cancer that can't, you know, carry a child. So, you know, there's medical implications. So why it's not covered by insurance, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I know that there's just been so much response and news about it. And I was talking to a colleague who has a similar story as yours, and she was asking her son, who was born by surrogacy, you know, she was doing some responses with the news and, "Are you okay with me talking openly about this? You know, it's your story too." And he responded to her like, "No, mom, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of our story." And it was just very, very touching. And in their case, they're Catholic too, so I think it was even harder to see the statement from the Pope.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I know Jen asked about your daughter's kind of
Yeah.
thoughts and roles on this. I mean, it's interesting to have, you know, the different experiences. Have you got to see how her feelings fit into all of this?
Yes. So yeah, so she's almost 3 years older than my son. And, you know, I think for her, you know, she finds it amazing. So she's actually in college now studying nursing. And she has always said to me just how amazing she thinks it is that her brother, you know, came into this world in this way. you know, I think they have an incredible relationship, and she has met the carrier as well, not as many times as my son has, but I think that she, you know, just feels that it's just unbelievable. Like, she's just amazed that he came into this world this way.
How do, and this may be way in the weeds, but I assume that your gestational carrier had children of her own. How old were her children when she was going through this?
She did. That's actually a good point, because that's a criteria that's necessary to be a carrier with this agency we used.
I say it is for everybody under ASRM now, but I didn't know what it was at the time. So that's why I was careful how I asked that.
Yes. So at the time it was required. So she has two children of her own. And when she first carried my son, her children were fairly young. I'm trying to remember exactly. I want to say they were about 5 and 8, maybe.
Closer to your daughter, though, in age. And that's why I was curious. Like, did the kids all get to meet each other?
Yes, they did. They met each other a few times. And that was so, so powerful. And I want to mention also a really important relationship, too, is my carrier's husband. He was the most supportive person. He supported her every step of the way from the beginning of this process to the end. Because obviously, you know, this is, you know, a huge, you know, impact on him, right? Because his wife now is going through lots of physical changes, right? So this has a lot of, you know, an effect on him. And he was the most supportive person for her throughout this whole process. So I'm forever grateful to him as well.
And I assume your own husband, who brought up the idea in the first place, how did the journey go for him? Any surprises?
Yes. He was equally extremely supportive. I would say he had a little bit more of a back burner role than I did, meaning like he didn't attend all the doctor's appointments the way I did. But, you know, he was very invested in the whole, you know, the whole process. You know, he couldn't be more grateful to her for everything she's done. And, you know, it's interesting that we're grateful. I've said to her so many times over these years, and there's, you know, this has been, you know, it's been a long time, right? Because my son's almost 16. So there's been a long history that we've had with each other since he's been born. And I've said to her so many times, how will I ever thank you? I am so grateful. How is this feeling I have inside of me? How will I ever thank you for what you did? And she always says, you already have.
That's very kind and sweet.
That is amazing.
Were you her only surrogacy pregnancy, or did she do any others?
I was. So she always wanted to be a surrogate. She always wanted to carry a child for someone else. So I was her first. But because the pregnancy with my son ended up, the pregnancy was fine. She had no complications. But the delivery ended up having some issues. The agency told her they did not recommend that she move forward with another pregnancy. So as she actually wanted to move forward. She wanted to go forward again. Yeah. But they said to her they didn't want her to do that.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Disappointing, but also best, you know, you always want to mitigate risk for everybody on both sides, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So it sounds like this experience being so, so powerful, so moving, you've really continued to speak on it, to try to help others. And I know you wrote a recent article you mentioned. Can you talk more about your advocacy and work in this space?
Sure. So I actually got involved with Resolve of, I think then it was called the Bay State, so now Resolve of New England, right after my daughter was born. I was with Resolve when I was trying to have a child. So when I was going through infertility, I went to the support groups, and I found that Resolve was just an incredible support for me, because, you know, infertility is such a difficult journey. So that was just such a great, you know, support for me before she was born. I decided to give back to Resolve after she was born. And I helped, you know, different support groups, and just loved helping out. So I'm now a peer leader for an infertility support group for Resolve. and I'll call
Shout
you.
out, that's how we met, right?
Exactly, that's how we met.
Nice.
Exactly, yeah. Jen. That's exactly how we met. And I just love Resolve. They're just amazing. I just love that group. And so I'll be helping them also in the area of surrogacy, gestational carriers. You know, they know that they can send anyone my way who's considering pursuing a gestational carrier or surrogate. I'm happy to talk with anyone. I presented at the annual conference, I think maybe 6 years ago when it was in person in Massachusetts, and I talked about my experience using a gestational carrier. I'm always more than happy to talk to people who are considering this, you know, this process, which is so unique. You don't find many people who are going through this. And actually, when I was going through it, I did find someone in Massachusetts who was also going through it. This was a friend of a friend. And I was happy to have someone else who, you know, was going through the process that I was going through. Having said that, she had a very different experience in that she actually chose a carrier who was far away. So she had a very different experience than I had. And not that that's good or bad. It was just very different. So she basically, I think maybe she saw her carrier once during the process. And then, of course, in the end, on delivery day. But just having someone else to go through the experience with was, you know, helpful for me. But it was interesting that she had such a different experience than I had.
Right. And I mean, I think that cements like the great thing about especially all those Resolve peer groups, right, is that you don't feel so alone when you have other people to talk to who are going through things.
Completely. 100%. 100%. One thing I should mention too, I just thought of, I should probably mention, you know, it's such an interesting experience to go through this because if you think about it, you know, some people knew, you know, I had used a carrier and this was happening, you know, in March, my son would be born and, you know, people knew, but a lot of people didn't know, right? So all of a sudden here I am, you know, with a baby. And so dealing with that was a very interesting experience as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
You know, I dealt with, I think, in a lot of different ways. I think the way I responded and kind of the extent that I responded depended on the relationship I had with the other person, if that makes sense, you know? So I would receive all kinds of comments like, wait, I didn't know you were pregnant. Wait, that's your baby? You know, so I received a lot of those kind of things or, you know, like, wait, can you tell me more about it? You know, I had a lot of people who were very interested, you know, and, you know, I always love talking about it. Like it comes up on occasion, you know, I can't say it comes up that often because it, you know, he's almost 16, right? So it's not like it comes up that frequently, but it does come up sometimes. And if it does, I'm more than happy to talk about it, more than happy to share my story, more than happy.
That's amazing. Well, we appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us here. Any final words of wisdom or any parting thoughts before we head on out?
Yeah, honestly, you know, it was an amazing experience. And it continues to be an amazing experience. I feel so fortunate that she and I still have such a close bond. I think we will have that bond forever. And I truly feel grateful to have gone through, you know, this experience, which is so, so, so unique. She and I keep saying we'll write a book one day, and I think we will. I'll let you know if we do. And
I love it.
Yes, and feel free to send anyone my way who's entertaining this idea. And thank you both for all that you are doing around this topic and all these topics that you know, impact so many women around the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming and talking to us.
You are so welcome. Thank you both.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. It was really fun for me to kind of talk through all of the how things were, you know, 15, 16 years ago, to like do the mental gymnastics of comparing how surrogacy journeys are now. So I really appreciate your openness and willing to talk about that. We really appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to those who help us, to Tyler, to Melissa, to Amanda. We appreciate that this is definitely a team effort to get this out into the world. For our listeners, if you ever want to call, you can reach us at 303-997-1903. You can join our Facebook group. I feel like really old school for that. Should we have TikTok, Snapchat, Threads? I don't even know what's cool now. Anyway, yeah. We're still on Facebook. You can find us there. You can rate us on iTunes, which we appreciate. And if you don't yet somehow not have a shirt or jogger pants or a phone case that has a sperm with headphones on it or a coffee mug, or if your friends don't have them, you can go to the merch link and hook them up and solve that problem. So thank you. We appreciate you.